When the news gets complicated, you need better questions.
It's just a fact that Tony Fauci, not the guy I'm talking with, but Tony Fauci, the person in people's mind, is now an impediment to public health because people won't listen to you.
You know, with all due respect, I just completely disagree with that premise because there are an awful lot of people who do listen, who do the right thing from a public health standpoint.
Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Local.
Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Last year, you approved an 8.25% pay raise for fire service. This year, I'm recommending that same increase for our police department. Our officers deserve it. We must remain competitive in the market to attract and retain talent, and this increase will allow us not only to be competitive, but selective in who we choose to protect and serve.
What I'm asking for today is for us to invest in our workforce. And if I'm asking for that, there are three things that we need to focus on. The first is, have the staff earned it? I can show you statistically when we pull out that facts that MPD has earned this investment through their dedication, their performance, and their service to our community. The next question is there value? What's the value in putting that extra financial impact into our officers? We can look and see that with police turnover, $100,000 to $200,000 is spent upfitting uniforms, equipment, getting people trained, going through field training to get somebody on board, as opposed to the money spent on recruiting and retaining. But more importantly, it's not just about keeping the people. It's about the fact that they've earned this spot and our community supports that. I ask folks to come here today because I want our department to see that you support them, that the community supports them coming behind this.
So Milton Police Chief Jen Frank talking to the city council. I know we talked yesterday about the homeless or camping ordinance that she wants to have put in place because, you know, state law kind of sets parameters and Milton hasn't done that portion of getting their laws in place like they should. And now at the budget conference, this was on Saturday, she was talking to them about a pay raise. And as you heard Ed explain, Ed Spears at the top, 8.25% pay raise for Milton Fire. And there's a variety of fire in and around Milton. I'll be honest, I forget how it's all structured because it's very different from Escambia County. It's a lot of independent organizations that all kind of work together. Anyway, so 8.25 last year for the fire, and now he's saying 8.25 for the police department, and she's basically saying, my people are underpaid and we need to solve this.
When I came here, you guys gave me three challenges. Those three challenges were professional excellence, protecting and proactive public safety, and specifically community partnership. If I'm asking for more money for my guys, let's prove that they earned it.
And then she talked about very specific details. Our training hours are way up, which means that you're getting a better qualified police force to take care of needs. Violent crimes are way down. Now, I think in part that's due to national trends. We're seeing that as well. But, you know, certainly give police the credit for that. But smaller arrests are up.
And I want you to be aware, not all of our calls have gone down. Juvenile calls went up from 57 to 126. Suicide complaints went from 8 to 29. Now, those are not completed suicides. I want to be aware. Those are mental health suicide calls for help. But I will tell you, there's a mark of an agency. When your community becomes safe, I've often said, when someone calls me to complain about litter, I take that as a positive. Because that tells me that the general concerns about safety have reduced to the level that folks can now be worried about some of those quality of life issues. We've seen some of those parking issues and some of those other concerns become more significant than concerns over safety.
Right. And that's the good news, right? The good news is you can afford to care about the little things. You know, in a war zone, you know, nobody cares about trespassing, right? That's the point. If you're caring about trespassing and, you know, violations of the right of way, well, that means that the big stuff has already been solved. And that's a good thing. Also, traffic.
Our misdemeanor arrests have gone up from 68 to 207, and our felony arrests from 42 to 180. Most importantly, here are our traffic stops. That was highlighted by the city manager earlier. 21 to 22, there are 591 traffic stops completed. 25 to 26, 3,055. Now, you guys asked us, get out there. Can your people be out there stopping instead of technology? We are. 417% increase in that to show you those efforts.
So you've asked us to be enforcing traffic, and we are enforcing traffic quite a bit. But the problem is, they are not making enough money.
We are in a situation where we ask officers to do more and be more, but I will tell you, we are paying them at the rate of a high school student who works at Aldi's, and I'm about to show you that, because I'm going to show you what my officers and my dispatchers are making and what the statistics and the numbers show for advertisements in our community. When we look at the drama and the crime and the incidents and the things that our officers are responding to, we are asking the same people who are being paid the same amount as an Aldi bagger right now to answer that phone call when a mom calls because she found her child at the bottom of a swimming pool and they're not breathing anymore. We're asking that same person to respond to a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of the dark, in the middle of the night by themselves, and go up to that window and make a motor vehicle stop because someone's in danger. And we're paying them the same level that the Home Depot manager is getting for the lot manager who returns the shopping carts.
Yeah, so, you know, you want your police to be paid in a way. And this has always been a question, you know, as the teachers make this much and the cops make this much and the fire makes this much. And, you know, the guy who is the assistant third lieutenant manager at the, you know, the hardware store or whatever makes it, you know, they, well, that's not fair. Okay, and but that's true. Because you're always trying to keep people and they're putting their life on the line and they could go, you know, stock groceries for more money. You're like, wait, that does not seem right. And she's going to get into more of this in a second. We'll come back to it. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash Pine Forest Road at West Detroit Boulevard. No roadblock associated with that one. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries Pensacola Boulevard at I-10 right near the I-10 overpass. Also have a disabled vehicle on the roadway, I-10 westbound. That is right near Milton and Ward Basin Road. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Milton Police Chief Jen Frank talking to the Milton City Council on Saturday about their budget and how she's asking for an 8% pay raise for her deputies or for her officers and her dispatch because they do not make enough money. Thinking about dispatch now.
We talk about what it means to be a police officer and what it is in our area, and we start to look at what they're being paid. We need to be competitive, not just because we want to get the right people in the door, but because these officers, these dispatchers, they have earned that. Dispatchers come in at $17.49 an hour. I asked my staff to be here because I want you to know what that looks like for people. I've got a dispatcher here who has to buy a bottle of formula. One can of formula costs $63. She has to work 3 hours and 40 minutes for one can of formula to feed her kid. $17.49 an hour. You continue to go through that, and we have to compete with our neighbor, and they can go to Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office and make $24 to $27 an hour doing the exact same job.
Yeah, and you kind of want to say, ugh, about that.
So we start to look through, and we start to look through not only those areas in our community, but I want you to understand for those who might say, we don't have Pensacola money, we don't have Gulf Breeze money. I hear you, but I want to counter to that these are jobs here in Milton. A Walmart food team supervisor makes $19 to $32 an hour. Santa Rosa County probation officer is making $23 to $26 an hour. Harbor Freight sales manager, $25 to $27. And Great Clips Hairstyle makes $25 an hour plus tips. But these are the people who go with the guns to go respond and keep people safe. These are the people who take that phone call when somebody's grandmother just passed away and they don't know what to do because that dead body is in there. And our staff has to figure out, how do you have the courage to kick in a door and then the next moment have a courage to hold somebody's hand and walk them through that difficult time? We need to pay our staff at the level that they get there.
Also, can I just make a note? Isn't Chief Frank amazing? Like, you know, if you're a cop in Milton, you're like, go, Chief, go. Get him. Like, this is really, I mean, she's done a lot of great things in the city of Milton since taking over as a chief. And, you know, and honestly, I think this is super smart, okay, strategically. Because, first of all, she's come in, she's done a lot of press, she's done a lot of, you know, press conferences, she's talked to them, she's clearly shown she's capable, she's got all kinds of grant money. Like, she's done a lot of very effective things. And now she's like, all right, you see all the cool things we're doing, right? Right. You think it's important. Right, right. You like what I'm doing. Right, right. Give me money. Which is very, very smart. And, oh, by the way, it's an election year. Oh, by the way, it's filing right now. Like, Milton is, you know, their office and people are filing to run for office. So we're going to have our elections here, you know, pretty soon. So guess when is the best time to ask for more money for the cops? An issue which you do not want to be on record anywhere in this two-county area being the person like, I just don't know if we can afford all that.
I say, Chief, you're right. We want to pay them, but we don't have the money. But here's where I argue. Our code enforcement officer who's been here 1 year makes $30.05 an hour. But my MPD patrol officer, he makes $24.15. Code enforcement works Monday through Friday days. But a police officer works 24/7, 365 nights, weekends, holidays. When somebody complains because the grass and they get is too long, or the dumpster didn't get emptied, or they put their sign in the wrong spot, and somebody aggressively comes at the code enforcement officer, you know who he calls for help? He calls for the guy who's making $6 an hour less than he is to come and help him out.
Unbelievable.
The grant's financial coordinator's been here 2 months, makes $25.50, but my MPD dispatcher who's been here for 5 years, who still to this day hears the sound of that gunshot wound of the child who tried to take his life and the mom who tried to prevent that, and every day we hear about that conversation and how that affects her, she makes $19.21. I have another dispatcher whose children had to move in with her in her house to help pay the rent. Mm. We have to step up as a community. We say that we support our police, and I know that you do. But this conversation should have been happening long before I got here. This has been overdue for an incredible period of time.
Yep. I mean, there's no arguing it. It's just a question of, you know, how much is it going to be and how can we find the money for it? And by the way, I give credit to Ed Spears, too, because not only did Chief Frank do this wisely, you know, tactically, but I think he did, too, because if you come and say for the police first and then for the fire later, I mean, maybe you get both, but if you come and say for the fire and people say yes, and then you come and say for the police, who's going to say no? It's smart. I mean, it's very, very smart approach.
Here's what we're looking for. I'm asking for a pay increase across the board for all of my Milton employees, 8.25%, which will bring them up to par for where they should be. In addition to that, I'm asking for my dispatchers to get the 2% merit account and to get the 2% COLA. Because we have to do something. They are so far below that we are at the point where we don't want them to have to qualify for food stamps in order to be able to pay for formula. And last but not least, the officers would receive the 2% COLA because they still continue to get their annual step increases, but I've got to get my dispatchers to an appropriate location for where they're at.
Yeah, and again, this all makes perfect sense to me. I think everybody who hears this, and that's the point, would be on board. The only question is, you know, where do we find the money? How do we make it work? But this is part of the proposed budget that Ed's bringing to the city council.
I want you to know I am incredibly proud of this city, of our officers, of our dispatchers, of our records clerk, but it is time. I want you to see the people here who served you day and night, who make sure that our community is safe. When we talk about all the other elements, in order to have a good city moving forward, people have to feel safe to be here. We have to be able to get there. That's the fuel. We have to have the vehicles that are going to get us there. That's the replacement, so we can help protect. And we need the right people to do this job in the way that we're asking. You asked us to step up. We did. Questions?
Well, I think working. Okay.
Is this thing on? Because we're done, right? Like, it's over. I love this ending for it. Here's my presentation. Here's my passion. Help my officers out.
Questions?
No questions. Make it stop. Just tell us how much the bill is, right? Mike Cusack, who, you know, it's an election year. Mike's up for re-election. He's part of the Pitchfork Posse Coalition, the Save Our Blackwater, you know, Milton Concerned Citizens, all of that group. He and Heather Lindsay and Marilyn Farrow are all very much that group's representatives and those folks on the city council. So if you like the direction that they brought, cool. If you don't like the direction they brought, well, you know, voting is soon. But, you know, I disagree with Mike a lot. I cannot stand his style and content and anyway, lots of things. But in this, I mean, he's certainly right. The only question you should ask at this point is,
8.25, is that enough?
Yeah. I think it's fair for what the city can. We exist within the city, and we're here to serve the city. So I think it is a fair wage for what we are committing to the community.
And your officers, I assume you've had discussions with your staff. Do they feel comfortable with this number as well?
We have had discussions, yes.
So everybody's on board then for the most part, correct?
Everybody's
in your department? Okay, that's what I need to know. I just want to make sure you're getting what you need, because it's important to everybody in this city that safety is critical.
Absolutely.
Police and fire is paramount. So, all righty. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'm up for re-election. My only question is it, can it be more? Do you need more? But, you know, and then he asks, like, have you lost anybody due to low pay? And she says, no, not really, but it's hard every day coming to work when you make this and look across the street at a much safer regular hours job and you could be making $5 or $6 more an hour. Now, cops are a special breed. They do it because they want to do it. They like it. It's a certain kind of work that takes a certain kind of person. Don't make the misunderstanding that it's not rewarding and challenging and that, you know, the all of it is part of what makes them want to do it. But your issue is not so much that you're likely to lose a cop to Aldi. Your issue is that you're likely to lose a cop to Santa Rosa or to FHP or to Escambia or to PPD, right? And that's your real competitive environment. The actual dollar amount, the cost, about $600,000. That's what the proposed raise would cost. $2.25 million in the total personnel budget for safety this year. An ask is for $3.24 million because there's some other things as well involved. There's also some additional monies with the COLA and some of the other stuff. But basically, taking a basic cop from going from 50 to 55 and dispatch from 35 to, to 40, that's the overall. And
just real quick, anybody on this council or in the public that doesn't believe these officers and dispatchers need this, go listen to that dispatch call. I'm sure she'd be willing to play it for you.
Tom Powers.
They deserve it.
And that was the response of all city council, which, if you remember, when Santa Rosa went to the MSTU, which is the millage-based funding for the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, that wound up being a property tax cut for anybody in a municipality, you know, Gulf Breeze, Milton J, of 2 mils. Well, Gulf Breeze did nothing and just let that tax cut stay. Milton added a mil in. So they've actually got a mil extra that they can use to fund this if they needed to, because they're not paying for the sheriff's office directly. So that, you know, and this is built into the budget. They're going to make it work without raising the millage, I would think. And I just wanted to let you know kind of what the conversation was. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. I-10 and 110 both continue to look good. There is a vehicle crash Pine Forest Road at West Detroit Boulevard. No roadblock associated with that one. Also a vehicle crash with injuries. Pensacola Boulevard right near I-10. Use caution. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
I got text. One person said, oh, she's good. Somebody else says, Jen Frank, and then an emoji for mic drop. Any questions? No questions. Where do I sign? Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are just really, really good at this. You know, in the peak of the market when it was easy, they were selling a little over 200 homes a year. Then the market got a little more challenging. You know, prices went up, rates went up, people were uncertain. Saw 175 a year, then 165 a year, which is still an amazing number, three a week on average. But then last year, it went right back up 30%, even in a challenging market. I mean, things haven't really gotten all that much better, but 206 homes for a week. Taking over listings from other people who couldn't get homes sold, they get them sold. They've just figured this thing out. So that's 4 a week on average sold. And then in the last 12 months, like the calendar year was 206. In the last 12 months, 266. So accelerating. It's crazy. Find out why. Give her a call. Talk to her. Ask her what she can do for you. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Santa Rosa County voters, meet the candidates before you cast your ballot. Gulf Breeze News hosts a free candidate forum Tuesday at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria. Doors open at 5:30 for voters to meet the candidates. The forum begins at 6. Candidates for Congress, the Florida House, County Commission, and School Board have been invited. Doors at 5:30, meet the candidates, and the forum starts at 6. Free admission. Get informed with Gulf Breeze News at the Gulf Breeze Middle School cafeteria starting at 5:30 Tuesday night.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
After a storm, portable generators are a helpful, temporary solution until power can be restored. Remember, 20-20-20 to keep safe while using a generator. Keep your generator 20 feet away from your house. Wait 20 minutes for the generator to cool down before refueling. Purchase a $20 carbon monoxide detector to protect you and your family. For more tips on hurricane safety, check out the Hurricane Guide at floridadisaster.org/guide.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
I'm Erin Eiswanger, Republican candidate for Santa Rosa County Commission District 2. I will make sure you, the people, are heard, and the county commissioners work for we, the people, not the developers, special interests, or the political class. I'll work tirelessly to fix our infrastructure, stop irresponsible growth, and grow our economy. I'm Erin Eiswanger, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th. Santa Rosa County will be stronger with Nyswanger.
Paid for and approved by Erin Nyswanger, Republican, Santa Rosa County, District 2.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
You're not looking for an argument. You just want to know what's going on.
And that's a good thing.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
You know why I pulled you over?
Depends on how long you were following me.
6:30, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Wes Moreno is going to be coming up next. We've got the tall ship Alyssa should be transiting the pass about 15, 20 minutes from now. And David Wayne is in the newsroom with a quick headline for us. David?
Well, there's over 1,000 firefighters working to contain those wildfires around Spokane, Washington. About 1,500 firefighters there working 16-hour shifts. So far, 60,000 people have been displaced.
Yeah, again, hundreds of thousands of acres in some of these fire areas.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Senator Rand Paul holding a vote this morning to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress after he pleaded the fifth over 100 times during a hearing last week.
Legal experts say a witness can avoid answering questions that might implicate him in a crime, but not to avoid embarrassment. And before the hearing, Paul had released pages from Fauci's diary where he talks about the celebrity attention he was getting and that scientists weren't in agreement about whether COVID-19 came from a lab leak or natural causes.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. President Trump says he'd rather make a deal with Iran to stop the killing. That message comes as Tehran and Oman work out a plan to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, but ships are still coming under fire.
Reports do indicate that progress in talks between Iran and Oman aimed at opening the strait, led in part by Gulf allies urging the president not to strike.
That's Fox's Trey Yangst. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 78 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies, looking like a nice start to our day. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That'll be up here in just a few minutes. Escambia County Commissioners will be considering a $50,000 reimbursement for a program to help homeless individuals relocate to areas with more support. Real Change Project Reconnect, which is run through Ministry Village at Olive, has helped more than 500 people so far. It helps them get bus tickets to a place where they have verified family jobs or recovery resources waiting. County officials estimate that program has saved taxpayers $18 million. Advocates say it's a far cry from Greyhound therapy, since every participant does have support lined up before they leave. Well, an antitrust exemption could be coming to statewide universities. It targets seven proposals.
Florida's university system is pushing Congress for a limited antitrust exemption so the NC2A can set salary caps and tighten transfer and eligibility rules. A statewide task force advanced seven proposals, including stronger NIL protections, financial literacy training for athletes, and caps on agents' commissions. Members rejected ideas that would raise ticket or concession fees, saying they won't support anything resembling a tax increase. All recommendations still need approval from the Board of Trustees. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Last weekend, a Pensacola scrapyard caught fire for the sixth time in 2 years. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city's reached a point where it is going to compel EMR Southern Recycling to operate responsibly, whether ownership wants to or not.
Six fires in 2 years, then we're going to force you to care about your neighbors, is really where we're at. So in fairness, after fire number five, the company, the organization, has been very receptive to our concerns. I will say that. I haven't even had that direct conversation with them other than letters that I've sent to England and everywhere else to share our displeasure.
Reeves says this latest fire was a little bit more minor in nature than the previous one, which may indicate some of their adjustments that were made after fire number five did have some effect. He says the city's fire department has conducted on-site inspections and conversations are ongoing. He also said more will come from those conversations here in the near future. 38-year-old Pensacola man's been arrested in last week's murder at the Quality Inn on Pensacola Boulevard. Mario Wiggins faces a murder charge. Deputies say surveillance video showed him leaving the hotel with the victim's gold chain wrapped around his hand. Investigators say they later found Wiggins wearing that same necklace when they spoke with him. The victim was found dead with a gunshot wound to the head last Thursday. Wiggins is being held without bond. It is 6:35 here at News Radio, 92.3, partly cloudy, 78 degrees right now. And let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Discover. With the Discover Cashback Card, earn 5% cash back at different categories each quarter and up to $1,500 in purchases. It pays to Discover. See discover.com/5 for details. Taking a look at the big board, there is a vehicle crash with injuries, Dog Track Road at Alleran Avenue. Roadblock associated with that one. Also have a brand new vehicle crash in Roadblock, North Cross Lane at North Davis Highway. Use caution there. Also a vehicle crash with injuries, Pensacola Boulevard right near I-110, or I-10 rather. And then also a vehicle crash, Pine Forest Road at West Detroit Boulevard. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a small 20% chance of rain today. Otherwise, mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Friday, mostly sunny skies with a 20% chance of rain, high near 89. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 78. Heading into Saturday, a very similar pattern with a 20% chance of rain, high near 90 degrees. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
78 degrees, your next news in 30 minutes. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. The United States announced that it has suspended all government operations in the Mexican state of Michoacan because of a threat to U.S. interests, including a halt to the inspections of avocados required for their export. Officials say the move is meant to safeguard workers following recent arrests linked to extortion. The Mexican territory is the leading exporter of avocados to the U.S. Nintendo has reported fiscal first quarter earnings, beating analysts' revenue and profit estimates, even as its Switch 2 console sales saw a sharp decline. Nintendo Switch 2 hardware sales fell more than 34% from a year earlier to roughly 3.8 million units. The company maintained its forecast for the year ending March of 2027 that were announced in May. Oil prices are higher this morning as investors remain cautious over Iran-Oman peace talks. West Texas Intermediate up to $75 a barrel, Brent at 80. Futures are mixed as SpaceX shares rise. That's your money now.
That'll be $84.52.
Perfect. Grab the bags, honey.
Mom, why do you always check your phone before we pay?
I'm just claiming my cash back on the Upside app. Since we're getting the groceries here and we filled up the car on the way, I've already earned enough this morning to pay for that pizza night we're having Friday.
Wait, so the app pays for pizza?
Not exactly, but the cash I earn on stuff we need helps us pay for the stuff we want. It's just a little win for our family every week.
Get more out of your everyday. Upside is the free app that gets you cash back on routine purchases like gas, groceries, and dining out at more than 100,000 locations nationwide. No points, no rebates, just cash back straight to your wallet. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus on your first purchase. That's promo code ACT5 to get a $5 bonus. Remember, use promo code ACT5.
Offers vary by user and location at participating merchants. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
4 years ago, Kerry Smith made three promises: roads before development, fair impact fees, and rewriting our land development code. He's kept every single one. Kerry steered $60 million in roadway capacity projects, breaking ground this summer. Kerry alone championed impact fees so new growth pays its fair share. Rewrote the land development code twice to protect our neighborhoods from flooding. Kerry continues to work with FDOT to four-lane Highway 90 through downtown Milton. Promises made, promises kept. Political advertisement paid for and approved by Kerry Smith, Republican for Santa Rosa County Commissioner, District 2.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of four children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson-Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Wes Moreno is the Escambia County Administrator. We got a two-shot today. We got the Committee of the Whole meeting at 9 a.m., and then we got the regular meeting 5:30 with public forum comments starting at 4:30. Wes, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's always good to be here.
Great to have you. I want to start with just this is a neat note to me. We live in the Oakfield area, and I just yesterday discovered that, lo and behold, we're putting sidewalks on Sarah to go to Brown Barge, and we're putting sidewalks over on Oakfield to go to West Florida. They look great. I think it's fantastic. I do have questions, but are there any other streets that are getting sidewalks in the near future?
We do have a list of sidewalk priorities run by our traffic division, and most of it's safe walk to school.
Yep.
But I know, and throughout District 3 especially, we've got a big push over in the Dory Miller area for sidewalks over there, and we'll be kicking that off pretty soon. But sidewalks is one way to improve a neighborhood or subdivision, and that is to put sidewalks in. It just changes the whole dynamic of the subdivision, and just so much better. It's just so much better when you do that.
100%. I mean, if you drive down Chemstrand and you see now all the construction there and all the changes there, it looks so much better. Same thing on Sarah. I thought, man, I didn't realize how dangerous and close in the foliage and everything else was until I drive down it with a sidewalk on the east side of the street and think, that's just better. Now, I have a concern that, like, at what is the H Street that runs in front of Brown Barge? All of a sudden, I just can't think of it. There's no crosswalk there, and it crosses over to the green space, so maybe that's not ideal. I'm sure y'all will figure all that stuff out. The one question I had is, at West Florida, the intersection of Burgess and Oakfield, is that intended to become a light at some point? Would it become a four-way stop first? I know it's a state road, so obviously during school time, it's a catastrophe every day, but you tell me. I don't know what the plan is there.
Yeah, I'd have to give a DOT and check on what their vision is there.
I mean, I know long-term the plan is to turn, to connect Creighton to Burgess and make that a drive-through, but that's like number 20 on the TPO list. That's not going to happen in my kid's lifetime, I wouldn't think. So on the morning meeting today, we have the Committee of the Whole on the Bay Center. What is the shape of what are they trying to accomplish by the end of this morning?
Well, what we want to do is present to the board what our strategy is to move forward with the Bay Center, what our strategy is for some of the improvements, what our strategy is for how we procure those improvements, hiring what we call a construction engineering inspection firm to help put the RFP together, then doing an RFP for design, and just our whole package moving forward, some of the concerns that we have. We'll talk about a little bit about the funding mechanism and the bonding. We'll talk about that and just lay out the whole gamut and just get feedback from the board. What happens in November with Amendment 3 could affect the project, how much of the project gets done. Do we do one portion or phase one or phase two, or do we just do phase one? I mean, all of this stuff will be dependent on Amendment 3 to some extent. Even though we're using TDT money, the debt service will definitely be impacted depending on what happens in November. So we'll see. Just kind of inform the board what our strategies are and take feedback and see what happens.
Okay. All right. And I mean, obviously, I know, as you say, property, the property tax amendment puts a lot of things in the category. But I would just like to see the board really settle on a, this is an A, B, and C, what we want to do. This is the cost of A, B, C. And, you know, we're committed to doing A and B and see if we can afford it. You know, I just, that kind of clarity, I think, would be helpful, of course, to the city, certainly to the board, and to the rest of us to kind of figure that. And, I assume that's kind of the intent today. On the actual meeting, two, God bless you, two big items, the OLF 8, you know, if you didn't think it was an issue, watch the just scheduling of the public hearing. I had asked you before, and I looked at the actual item. If I read it right, you tell me if I'm wrong. There's been no changes to the recommendation, particularly they haven't exempted out the part that the Escambia County is going to keep possession of from the overall requested changes. But I assume that's because the expectation is that they're going to vote to push this back to the planning board. So why tinker with it? Send it back and see what they send us back. Is that right?
Well, we'll see. I don't know that it, you know, it's been quite the topic of discussion this week. I'll say that.
Okay.
And whether it goes back to the planning board, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Whether we retain, hold out, you know, will we transmit to Tallahassee? We keep our section separate from the rest of the parcel. Maybe that's an option. Or maybe you just transmit to Tallahassee and see what they say. You know, the thing is, this is just a step in the process.
Right.
It's just a step in the process. You transmit to Tallahassee, you're looking for their feedback. You're looking for their thumbs up or thumbs down, or maybe they have questions that we have to respond to, or the applicant has to respond to. That's really all we're doing. It's really not changing the master plan at this point. It's just a step in the process that has to, and even if they do remand it back to the planning board, depending on what the planning board does, if they come back with a thumbs down this time or what have you, it still has to come back to our board, and then they're going to have to still make a decision. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
There's a lot of discussion. I don't think I kind of have a read, but you never know.
Okay. All right. No, that's an interesting shift from what I had been expecting, so I appreciate that. We'll look forward to the meeting. Obviously, it'll be pretty involved. I thought that Commissioner Stroberger's idea of, I think it was him, who said, okay, if they're asking for six changes, well, I mean, why not vote on the six individual changes and give us the reasons why so we can decide which or not of ones to approve? That makes sense to me. I never like batching things all together because then, you know, I might be for four of them but not for two of them, you know, and let's figure that out. But, again, I think a lot of that stuff will probably come up tonight. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Dog Track Road at Laren Avenue. There's a roadblock associated with that crash. Also, a vehicle crash and roadblock North Cross Lane and North Davis Highway. We also have a brand-new vehicle crash, US 90 in Milton, right near Diamond Street. No roadblock there. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. The other big item tonight is the moratorium ban, the beefed up language on data centers. And I read the proposed ordinance, and I'll be honest, I was trying to do my research to know what the specific contours of it were to strengthen the language of the thing that's already banned. And I could not find the state ordinances that match some of the language in there. And it might be I'm just stupid. It's possible. But in any case, it's already not legal. And this is mostly, as I read it, just to, I don't know, assure people, make their feelings stronger, whatever. But would it really accomplish anything particularly?
Not really. I mean, it's already not an allowable use. It's not a conditional permitted use in the county. You know, it's maybe a step that makes people feel a little better about it. You know, I don't know, but it's already not allowable in Escambia County. And this is maybe I don't know what you want to call it, but it's something that the board can vote on and do that will put people's minds at ease, maybe a little bit better, but it's already not allowable.
I won't ask you to agree with me, but I'd say it's a feel-good measure to basically pay off a bunch of people who've made a lot of noise and, you know, to try to say, hey, stop coming. We don't need this. It's already not allowed. But the one thing, and I just want to put this bug in your ear. I've been talking to a bunch of people about AI and data centers, and even had Michelle Salzman on the show on Friday, and we talked about this. And I do have a concern that long-term, if we're going to be like the tech and cyber corridor, and we got Cora Station, we got UWF, we got all this stuff, I don't want to ban something. I know it's already banned, okay, so it doesn't accomplish, but, you know, I don't want to make us a place hostile to the kinds of developments that we need either for businesses or for tech or for government and national defense. And I'm kind of worried that the signal we're sending on some of this is that we're not interested in things that honestly might be really key to our future.
I've heard some of that. I've heard some of that viewpoint as well.
Okay. And I mean, I know you're the administrator, you're not the, you know, the policymaker. So we'll kind of leave it at that. One thing, this business about getting paid when you resign, it was at 90 days. Now the proposal is to put it to 30 days. Do I understand this correct? I think I do, but you tell me. If somebody's terminated is when you typically get that, you know, a payout of some kind. But typically if people resign, they don't get paid. Help me understand this.
Yes, it was a 90-day notice, and this has been in practice since the 80s. I mean, we've been doing this, following our policies for years. You have a 90-day notice. You could work out your 90 days, or in some instances, sometimes we ask the person to resign. We don't want them in the organization. We will pay them out 90 days. That's not going to be 30. Now it'll be 30 days. And it's a 30-day notice. If you resign, you can either work it out. If you're in a position that maybe it's best that you separate, we'll pay you out in 30 days in lieu of being terminated.
So I understand how from if you're wanting to terminate somebody and it's not for cause, it's just for they're not a good fit or, you know, whatever. I get that. And you want to pay them to some degree. The part I don't quite understand is the resignation part. Like, it seems like, I mean, is it just a way of giving them the ability to say to a future employer, hey, you know, I resigned, I didn't get terminated. And because we're offering that we're giving them that choice, we want to give them the incentive of not having to lose the pay, even if we're not going to ask them to perform the work. I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I could tell that it didn't make sense to Mike Kohler during the conversation. Help me out here.
Well, yeah, some of that is true. I mean, you resign. Hey, I wasn't terminated. I resigned. It's an incentive to go ahead and let you depart from the organization. However, if you become employed within that 30 days, then the pay stops.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just an incentive to help folks exit the organization, basically.
One of the things that's on the list is the Bob Sykes Fishing Pier, the southern portion contract. Is that right? That's going to go out?
Yeah, that's true.
Excellent. We love that. And by the way, I told you the last time we talked, but I still am amazed at the progress on the fishing bridge replacement coming out of Pensacola. That's fantastic. You also had a pretty good story on corrections inmates getting certifications or degrees.
Yeah. We that's something else that we've been quietly doing for years. We have the GED program. They can take classes and courses. And we have a welding program out at the work annex where they can get certified as welders. And, the thing that our road crews, you know, you can learn a lot on a road crew. You know how to work asphalt, concrete, run small engines, maintain small engines. We have inmates that work in our fleet shop that work on tires and such. I mean, there's a lot of things that they can learn while being incarcerated with us. That gives them a skill set that when they get out, they could go get a job in a particular field. And so it's a good program, a lot of good work going on there. And I think it's something we don't mention very often, but it goes on every day.
I remember when I toured the road camp several years ago now and thinking to myself, man, this welding thing is fantastic. And, man, talk about a need for welding, especially now with our shipbuilding needs around the area. That's, you know, and that's not the only one, but there's lots of programs like that. And I just think, like you said, it's kind of an under-celebrated thing. Another under-celebrated thing for the county is, I don't know if you saw, but the opioid deaths have declined again significantly over last year. And I got to imagine that here in Escambia County, the CORE program is having a big part of that. I mean, you know, it's for us, it's a couple hundred people, but that's a couple hundred lives saved. That's just continues to contribute to the solution, right?
Yeah, just a great success. The CORE program is a great success. It's being funded through the opioid abatement lawsuit settlement money. And so, I mean, great success, making a huge impact in the community, and being funded through the lawsuit money doesn't touch the general fund, doesn't touch EMS funds, and that's, you know, it's just a great thing all the way around.
And then there's also an item on the agenda. It's a small enough thing, but if I read it right, it's four maybe homes that are going to be demolished and reconstructed, about $200,000 a piece. Where does the money come from that? Is it grant money?
It is basically grant. It's SHIP money, State Housing Initiative Program money.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I mean, you know, more housing, and if it's not coming out of our property tax dollars, then, you know, amen, do it. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Big meetings today, the committee, the whole meeting this morning on the Bay Center, the regular meeting at 4:30 for public forum, 5:30 for the, I'm sure, fairly lengthy discussion about OLF-8 and also about the data centers. Wes, as always, thanks for the work. Thanks for spending some time helping the audience understand what's going on in their county. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you now. Thank you.
Absolutely. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries. Dog Track Road at Alaron Avenue. Unknown roadblock there, so just use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash in roadblock North Cross Lane and North Davis Highway. Roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. If you need any kind of work done on the electrical, plumbing, air conditioning, heating systems in your home, generator, any of that kind of stuff, Peden is there for you since 1969. Started with air conditioning, but it's kind of all of that now and all across the Gulf Coast from Tallahassee in the east to Mobile now in Baldwin County and in Mobile. Everywhere taken care of you with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Good people, good products, good installation. And the basic idea for Peden is that they will be there for you. Okay? Whatever it takes, they're there for you. Licensed Peden professionals, quality workmanship, skilled plumbers. Your home, you know, works hard every day, and the showers, laundry, a constant demand for all of these systems. Small problems become big problems. They are there for you. Get ready for smooth running back-to-school mornings with a $59 Peden plumbing check today. Peden, the pros you can trust at Peden, P-E-A-D-E-N.com.
Every piece of jewelry has a story. Some start with a yes. Some start with, this belonged to my grandmother. Some start with, can we turn this into something new? However the story begins, the right jeweler helps it last. With custom design, careful restoration, and engagement rings built to last generations, Beret Jewelers has helped Pensacola keep those stories shining strong. Beret Jewelers, 40 years of coastal shine.
I'm Dr. Isaac Williams, running for Escambia County School Board, District 3. District 3 is asking for a change, and I agree. District 3 deserves a representative who will listen, communicate, and stay connected. I'm a retired military leader, a pastor, a community leader, and I'm ready to serve. I'll support teachers, strengthen schools, put students first, and always involve parents. I'm Dr. Isaac Williams. On August 18th, I would appreciate your vote.
Paid political ad by Dr. Isaac Williams, Escambia School Board, District 3.
Summer is here, and Prim and Popper is ready. From officially licensed Blue Angels and U.S. Navy merchandise to custom engraving and branded promotional products, they do it all right here in Gulf Breeze. Shopping for yourself, buying a gift, or putting your logo on something your customers will actually keep? Go see them. Visit primandpopper.com or stop by their shop in Gulf Breeze, located in the heart of Proper on the way to Pensacola Beach. Prim and Proper, officially licensed, locally loved.
Hi, this is DC Reeves. Together, we are moving Pensacola in the right direction. My priorities are building a healthy economy with good careers and keeping our community safe. I will always support our small businesses and back the blue. Let's keep working as a team to move Pensacola forward. I'm DC Reeves, and I'd be honored to have your vote on August 18th.
DC Reeves is endorsed by Sheriff Chip Simmons and the Fraternal Order of Police. Paid for by DC Reeves for mayor.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I can't believe they're doing the old show again.
Well, if it ain't broke.
No, they are broke. That's why they're doing it.
the old men. definitely the best part of the Muppets. The older I get, the better they are, the best part. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
A suspension of avocado inspections in one Mexican state could lead to a drop in imports into the U.S. through a South Texas port of entry. The USDA has apparently suspended inspections in Michoacan as a safety measure due to an extortion investigation there.
Are you threatening my avocados?
I hope you didn't need them for your toast. TikTok is under pressure for not quickly removing a live stream of Perez Hilton recently. Apparently, there was a live stream of him cutting himself with a knife. Yeah. And due to a glitch in their moderation, it stayed up for about a half an hour.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.